Recovering, a little bit better shape. Welcome to tonight's program. It is 7 past the hour. I think we can do all 3 hours tonight. We'll see what happens. I have spent a lot of time the past 3 or 4 days lying down and watching some TV talk programs, and I never ever turn on the Rupert Murdoch Terrorist Broadcast Network, but in watching CNN and MSNBC and CNN headlines and what else, I guess that's about it, and listening to a lot of radio, what I'm hearing from some quarters is even people on the so-called left in this country suggesting that those of us who are not psychopaths should tone down the rhetoric. That somehow, you know, this is the argument we talked about the other night about equivalence. So there's some kind of phony equivalence being created, of course, by the real America haters on the right. And they do hate America. Limbaugh has no respect for America at all. Neither does Beck. Neither does none of these people do. They don't recognize America. They don't have to. And since they don't have to, why take the time and bother to do so? If asked to contribute anything to their country other than the fact that they, and this is not a contribution, they are forced to pay taxes, these people would contribute nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, I got an email from Susan. Mike, I live in Leavenworth, Washington. As a minority progressive among conservatives, I listen to your program and appreciate your research, insights, and passion. Finally, following the unspeakable tragedy in Arizona, right-wing hatred and their encouragement of violence has national attention. But demands that they take responsibility for their rhetoric must be accompanied with toning down our own rhetoric. In other words, have I told you lately how much I hate these people? I've got to admit that I often feel that way, but your saying such things on your show does not help us to take the high road in this. As we demand responsibility on the part of right-wingers, we all need to take responsibility for our own rhetoric. Thanks, Susan, and her last name. There is no equivalence, as far as I'm concerned, and I'm going to open up the lines here in just a few minutes and see what you think about this. There is no equivalence. What I do on this program every night, I use foul language. I scream. I rant. I rave. I do not put up websites with targets. I do not talk about, I do not show up at political rallies carrying guns. I don't suggest that the President of the United States is a foreigner. One of the things cited in a couple of emails I've gotten, well, you talk about, Dick Cheney, there's a thing up on YouTube, Mike Malloy saying, hey, what's his daughter's name? Hey, Liz, get busy you should get busy planning your father's funeral. That's because the old bastard is going to die. I mean, he has no heart. And what I was saying, and apparently people on the right and some people on the left either missed it or they're just toying with your humble and obedient servant. What I'm saying is, instead of Liz Cheney running around the country with her hair on fire, talking about all the terrible things that the liberals are doing and that Barack Obama really should produce his birth certificate, she ought to focus on the fact that her father is soon going to croak and it might be a good idea to spend some time with him. She can get back to doing her dirty deeds after the old man croaks and she has him buried or cremated, whatever she's going to do. Now, I mentioned the other night that I got a couple of calls from people wanting newspapers, wanting a high-res picture of me. And when Kathy would say, for what? Oh, well, we're just doing an article. And you know what's going on. I know what's going on here. You know, that somehow there is, some of these writers are going to try to find equivalence between the ranting and raving that I do at night, which is targeted against the bastards who would murder this country. Whereas the ranting and screaming and vile, I mean, my God, death panels? You think something like that could come out of the mind of a liberal? I'm not referring to me, but to any liberal? Death panel? Do you think there's a liberal or a progressive who would show up at a political rally with guns and weapons? And do you think there's a liberal candidate, anyone who said, well, if the election doesn't come out the way we want it, it's time to consider Second Amendment remedies? So in thinking about this stuff, you know, like, what about your own program, Malloy? When I spent 8 years railing against Bush, it was for very clear and understandable reasons. Bush and Cheney were destroying the country. Bush and Cheney were greasing the skids so that fascism could arrive upright, safe and sound, with a smirk on its face. And the people on the right, well, what were you going to say?
What I was going to say is these right-wing vitriol spewers are targeting relatively benign, normal people. 9-year-old children are being killed. Okay, you are targeting Dick Cheney, who would run over a 9-year-old girl to get to an oil field.
I don't even target him. What I do is accuse him of the crimes that he has committed. I mean, Barack Obama has never committed a crime. He may have perpetrated some of the Bush-era actions that he should stop doing, but I go after him on that basis, too, just like I went after Bush.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's no innocence in the folks that you're speaking out against vociferously. You know, these are killers. These are mass murderers. These are people who think nothing of sending our troops into a meat grinder if they think that there's some sort of mineral right that could be exploited there.
You're right. At Media Matters for America, Eric Bollert wrote yesterday that Representative Giffords appears to be the latest victim of anti-government violence that has taken hold in America since 2009. That's code for since the black guy was elected president. I don't think there's any doubt here that most of this is based in race hatred. White racists are the worst, slimiest creatures on earth. If you don't like black people, that's your business. If you don't like white people who are Polish, that's your business. If you don't like Asians who are Chinese, that's your business. But to build an environment based on anti-black rhetoric and hatred, you know, black folk in this country have been through this for 350 years. So finally, that's when this started. Think about it. Oh, they went after Clinton. And what was Clinton labeled? Somebody labeled him, maybe a black man labeled him, but Clinton was the first black president America ever had. Ha ha, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But the way they went after Clinton, this has, with Clinton, it had nothing to do with race and everything to do with the fact that he was spinning those bastards left and right. Every time they would come at him, every time this twerpish, ineffective Newt Gingrich would make a move at Clinton, Clinton would flip him, jujitsu him right out of the room. I'm a big fan of Clinton's, but that's why they hated him. Nothing they could do politically could put a dent in Clinton. So they did what they always do. Go after the sex thing. And the irony of that, of course, was the fact that Newt was boinking an intern at the same time Clinton was being serviced by an intern. You find irony in that? I do. We'll be back in a second.
To Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Eric Bollert writes that Representative Giffords appears to be the latest victim of anti-government violence that has taken hold of America since 2009. I want to share this with you. It's a wave of violence that's cresting along with a tide of hateful insurrectionist rhetoric that far too many conservatives refuse to condemn. The toxic talk is routinely defended as being nothing more than spirited debate. It's not. It's deadly. And until those in positions of power say so, the dangerous rhetoric is likely to continue. Whether that rhetoric played a role in the gun massacre that erupted at the Tucson Shopping Center on Saturday, we don't yet know. Note that over the weekend, the local Arizona sheriff, Clarence Dupnik, condemned, quote, the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business, end quote, and especially the influence it may have on unbalanced people like the Tucson shooter. What's undeniable is that the attempted assassination of Giffords took place against a right-wing media backdrop that has been targeting the government and specifically Democrats in an unconscionable manner. For example, the suicide bomber-in-chief Barack Obama. Beck suggests Obama administration might kill 10% of the population. This is the sick kind of crap that comes from these psychopaths. Obama is trying to destroy the country. All of this comes out of Beck on a daily basis. A surge of political violence erupted across the country as Democrats have become the target of what is essentially terrorist attacks. Representative Tom Perriello, Democrat of Virginia. His brother's address was erroneously posted online by a Tea Party blogger who invited activists to descend on the house. A gas line outside the brother's house was cut. Representative Bart Stupak, Democrat of Michigan, very conservative Democrat, was the target of threatening faxes and phone calls, including death threats. A brick was thrown through the window of the Democratic Party office in Rochester, New York. Representative Anthony Weiner's office in Kew Gardens, New York, had to be evacuated after white powder was found in an envelope mailed to the office. A thrown brick smashed a window at Representative Louise Slaughter's district office in Niagara Falls, New York. Slaughter also received a message claiming that, quote, snipers were being deployed to kill those members who voted yes for health care, end quote, according to Politico. The FBI arrested a California man for making threatening phone calls to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. A tossed brick demolished a window at the Sedgwick County Democratic Party headquarters in Wichita, Kansas. A devoted Glenn Beck fan left a series of death threats. "Kill the effing senator" on the voicemail at the office of Senator Patty Murray. And, of course, there was the attack on Gifford's Tucson office last March, hours after voting in favor of health care reform. Vandals smashed the front door along with the headquarters window. Days later, Gifford spoke about being targeted. It never stops. And people want to talk about equivalence? Are you out of your goddamn mind to even suggest that liberals, progressives, people who have a brain do this to these right-wingers? Eric goes on. Perhaps most telling at the time that Gabrielle Gifford's office was attacked was that veteran members of Congress told Giffords that they'd never seen the kind of angry anti-government madness that was unleashed surrounding the health care vote. The health care vote! How many times did Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, the rest of these swine, how many times, how many programs were devoted to suggesting that a vote in favor of health care reform was a vote to bring the commies rushing in, was a vote to set up death panels? How many times did Michelle Bachmann lie and cast her stinking face around for so people could hear her say, "Well, they're going to come and get us all. They're going to send us all to detention centers. They're going to kill us." Over health care reform? Not even health care reform. Health insurance reform? That's all it was. Follow the money. Who stood to lose on health insurance reform? No, not the insurance companies. They stood to gain 38 million, 40 million new customers. Who stood to lose? We'll be back in a minute.
But they have no right to wield that sword, because they take their orders from the chairman of the board. IMF, WTO. I hear these words just every place I go. Who are these people? Who elected them? And how do I replace them with some of my friends? Can't you leave? Are you listening? No power to win.
With the truth. It's more Mike Malloy.
You know, the right-wingers understand something. These crazy people that are embedded now in our media and in our political system, and that is the American public has no memory. Who remembers Michelle Bachmann saying that she felt like she was a soldier behind enemy lines because she worked in U.S. Congress, because she worked in Washington, D.C. If she felt that way, why didn't she take her ass out of Congress and go get a real job? The rhetoric that these people have put out there endlessly, without let up, on radio and television, especially for the past decade, even when their piggish president and vice president were in power, they still kept it up and kept it up and kept it up without let up. And now somebody has the audacity. Smart people have the audacity to suggest there's an equivalence here. As Eric Bollert goes on at Media Matters, rather than unequivocally condemn or even rationally discuss how the violent rhetoric has become increasingly indefensible. And rather than encouraging partisan activists to dial it down before somebody got hurt, conservative pundits urged followers to forge ahead. More! More! I've said before, truth seekers, that people like Beck want to see the bloodshed. That's the only way they know they are succeeding. Because their message is insurrection, is violence. It never stops. So the fact that six people were murdered in Tucson, Arizona, is an indication that they are succeeding. Do you think Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and the rest of these swine would feel good if everything in this country was just calm and peaceful and rational? Are you serious? And if they didn't have their 25% of the U.S. population who are certifiably insane to stir up and agitate and prod with sharp sticks, what would they have? They wouldn't even be on the air. Conservative pundits, according to Eric Bowler, urge followers to forge ahead with their call to arms, even blaming Democrats for bringing the deadly threats and acts of violence upon themselves by voting in favor of health insurance reform? What kind of thinking is that? Eric goes on, indeed, after bricks being thrown through office windows and audible death threats left on answering machines, the conservative media mocked the idea that Democrats were being targeted and suggested the well-documented incidents had been somehow manufactured. Last March, Glenn Beck complained, quote, "It's almost as if the left is trumping all this up just for the politics." End quote. Yeah, Glenn, you psychopath. Yeah, that's right. We have a whole stable of actors, and they leave threatening voicemails. And we have another group that travel around the country with bricks and guns, and we kill people so that you thugs get blamed. The guy that was on his way to the progressive institution out in San Francisco, I forget the name of it, to blow it up and said, yeah, I listen to Glenn Beck. I love Glenn Beck. After Glenn Beck picked this little institute out of nowhere and demonized it. And Bill O'Reilly talking about Dr. Tiller, a murderer. He's killing babies over and over again. Now, I ask you, when Tiller was finally murdered, what do you think Bill O'Reilly did? He went home and said to his wife, "We got him! We got him!" And you know he did. And he followed that up with, "Jesus Christ, these people love me! Oh, they love me! It took me 6 weeks to convince somebody to shoot him, but finally I convinced somebody!" You know this is true. Huh? Oh, thanks. The Tides Foundation. It's almost as if the left is trumping up all of this just for the politics. Glenn Beck. Limbaugh said, quote, "Our side doesn't do this kind of stuff. It's all made up. 95% of it's made up. And it's being done to divert everybody's attention." Those are the rantings and screamings of somebody who's clinically mad. He drove himself deaf with his drug use. He whored his own housekeeper to go get street drugs for him. And people listen to this. Andrew Breitbart, quote, "We doubt these threats are actually real and certainly wouldn't condone them," end quote. Eric goes on, "For those who don't get the point, Fox News' Stephen Hayes shrugged off the acts of violence and threats and suggested, quote, "This happens all the time." While his Fox News colleague Another psychopath, Charles Krauthammer, said, quote, "I'm sure a lot of this is trumped up." Or as the Daily Caller's S.E. Cupp put it on Fox News at the time, quote, "Democrats who did this, who sort of rammed this down our throats, regardless of the fact that it actually won't save us any money, it's going to bankrupt us, and the American people don't want it. You want us to feel sorry for them, the Democrats do. They've gotten a couple of angry, you know, voicemails. They should read my email. You know, what do they expect? No one condones threats. No one condones the violence. But I'm glad people are angry. I hope they stay angry." Even after Byron Williams, in a jailhouse interview, told reporter John Hamilton that he was heavily influenced by Glenn Beck's conspiratorial rants at the time when Williams plotted to assassinate leaders at the Tides Foundation and the ACLU. What did Sarah Palin do? What did Fox News do? In response to a direct request that Palin act as a true leader and call for a cooling off of the increasingly deadly rhetoric that had become a cornerstone of the conservative movement, Palin reaffirmed her support of the talker's incendiary fear-mongering. "I stand with you, Glenn!" "Beck, I stand with you!" Why do you think every one of these pigs has come to roost at Rupert Murdoch's terrorist network? Why do you think they're all there? Bullard says, whatever the reason for Saturday's semi-automatic killing spree in Tucson, what's inescapable is that the government and government officials have been elevated to prime targets of physical attacks in the last 2 years. We've certainly never seen them targeted so casually within segments of the popular media. The spike in attacks, both the actual attacks and threatened ones, comes amidst a spike in explicit insurrectionist rhetoric that singles out the government as being a source of intentional evil within America. There's a political and media movement in this country that's eagerly painting a bullseye on the back of the U.S. government and its representatives. And not surprising, more and more marksmen are taking aim. That's right. So what are we supposed to do on the liberal, or not even liberal, on the center left of the political spectrum? What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just sit back and oh, Glenn Beck is a nice man, or ignore him altogether? Oh, Rush Limbaugh is a nice man, or ignore him altogether? Oh, Michelle Bachmann, isn't she sweet, or ignore her altogether? What are we supposed to do? Silence equals death! We're supposed to say nothing? And I wonder what network carries Sarah Palin's program? What is that? Discovery? Discover? Why haven't they dropped her? Why do media pundits keep talking about this useless brain-dead woman who should go ahead and enjoy her notoriety, make her money, get whatever she can get, bank it, have fun, and just shut up? She's never going to be elected to anything. But she's going to make certain with her rhetoric that a lot of people are going to die. Going to put up some more targets, are you, Sarah? We'll be back in a minute.
Everybody be careful. Everybody be very careful. Stay tuned to your TV. There are ponies who are talking. There are wasters who read. There are people here who do not even own a TV. Everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful. Oh, everybody be careful.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one.
So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car, and...
Filtered, only with Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour, we just got an email from a listener in California that says the BBC used a clip of my show yesterday as an example of U.S. hate radio. Oh my God, we're trying to locate it. And Prairie 2 writes, the Learning Channel has just announced they're dropping Palin after this week's episode. In the meantime, I like this. Posted at Daily Coast today, I think Lawrence Lewis. He points out that Politico.com gets it exactly ass backwards in calling for a more civil tone. Lawrence writes, in the aftermath of the Tucson massacre, Politico's Glenn Thrush and Carol E. Lee write one of the most inane responses imaginable. Quote, of all the unfulfilled campaign promises President Barack Obama made in 2008, the one that bothers the president most isn't any squandered policy priority. It's his failure to re-civilize what he views as an increasingly savage partisan climate. His failure? Obama's failure? The president who reached out to the Republicans on the stimulus, the president who allowed Republicans and centrist Democrats to define the health care debate and then received not a single Republican vote, the president who continually compromises even before negotiations have begun. It's been Republicans who talk secession, who lie about death panels, who openly called him a liar while he was speaking the truth before Congress. It was Republicans who ran for office talking Second Amendment remedies. And Obama hasn't reached out? Who are these jackasses of Politico? They go on, quote, yet Obama has often expressed anger, broadly in public, far more pointedly in private. How would they know? Against conservatives from Rush Limbaugh to Sarah Palin for whipping up anger against him and other Democrats. And few people around Obama were upset at the barrage of criticism unleashed against Republicans on Sunday for standing by while conservatives like Palin used gun-related imagery to score political points against Giffords and others. What kind of a half-ass wrote this? Few people around Obama were upset at the barrage of criticism? And Obama is supposed to sit idly by while right-wing demagogues spew vile filth on a daily basis? Obama and the people around him were supposed to be upset that there was criticism because Palin's violent imagery came to be? Could these two political writers possibly have it more ass backward? And then they circle the drain with discussion of Obama's ability to emote in public. Better for them that they learn to write intelligently and coherently in public. Back to Politico's Glenn Thrush and Carol Lee, quote, fairly or not to conservatives... Oh, here it comes. The mass murder in Tucson has ignited a larger debate about the rhetoric in American political life and the implications of a discourse in which partisans, not all of them Republicans, routinely employ the vocabulary of hunting, warfare, and slaughter to describe quotidian political conflict. Who are these people that not all of them Republicans who use the vocabulary of hunting and warfare and slaughter to describe political conflict? Who are they? Politico.com, owned outright by the right wing. Once again, the false equivalency. To give but one example, users, this was on Daily Coast, users of Daily Coast received exactly one warning before being banned for expressions of violence. Right-wing radio and right-wing blogs express violence openly without apology. As for bipartisanship, when have the Republicans ever demonstrated a willingness to compromise with this president? When? It was Republican leader Mitch McConnell who openly stated that his goal and the primary goal of the incoming Republican majority in the House, even though he's in the Senate, is to limit Obama to one term. Equivalency? And because a lot of these pundits, allegedly center-left, can see the writing on the wall as to where this country's going, like the disgusting little cowards with their rolled umbrellas that they are, they're lining up with the political right. Politico? No, not just Politico. Silence equals death. So what do you want to do, truth seeker? Do you want to sit back while these half-wits jump around and carrying their huge magazines stuck into the handle of their Glock 19? What do you want to do? Do you want to watch members of Congress call for a town hall meeting and see these sons of bitches show up with a gun? Why are they there with their guns? For one reason, to intimidate.
Hi, I can kill you, you know. I could just kill you. I won't, but I could.
We'll be back. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. If you're on hold, well, let's do a couple of calls right now. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hey, Steve.
Hi, Mike. Great show as always. You are spot on. There is no equivalence.
There really isn't.
No. Just point of fact for folks that are urging you to tone it down. Number one. Mike Malloy is not running for or holding an elected office. Like, I don't know, Palin? Number two, you're not making $30 to $50 million a year for your radio program. I think your producer can attest to that, probably.
Yeah. So can my six-year-old.
Number three is really important. You do not advocate violence. You hate hate. And that's to be commended. Truth, dissemination of truth is no sin. The defense of truth is no sin. So you keep on keeping on, man.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, Steve.
You bet.
All right, take care. We'll come to AJ in just a second. Kathy in Maine writes, Mike, this whole discourse that was miraculously begun after a horrific shooting is going to be twisted and used to stifle the left-wing talkers. It's the only small group left for the corporate fascists to shut down. The right-wing hate talkers will use their circular arguments to turn their twisted false logic against you and anyone else trying to speak truth to power. Kathy in Maine. Oh, and by the way, article out on Bloomberg. This is so American. This is so American. Dateline, Tucson. Dateline, data today. After a Glock-wielding gunman killed six people at Tucson Shopping Center on January 8, Greg Wolf, the owner of two Arizona gun shops, told his managers to get ready for a stampede of new customers. Wolf was right. Instead of hurting sales, the massacre had the $500 semi-automatic pistols flying out the doors of his Glockmeister stores in Mesa, Arizona, and Phoenix. Wolf said 2 days after the shooting spree that also left 14 wounded, we're at double our volume over what we usually do. The national debate over weaknesses in state and federal gun laws stirred by the shooting has stoked fears among liberals? No. Progressives? No. Democrats? No. Who? Gun buyers! That stiffer restrictions may be coming from Congress! Oh, no! The result is that a deadly demonstration of the weapon's effectiveness, i.e. Tucson, has also fired up sales of handguns in Arizona and other states, according to federal law enforcement data. Mr. Wolf, who owns the gun shop, said, you know, when something like this happens, people get worried that the government is going to ban stuff. Arizona gun dealers say that among the biggest sellers over the past 2 days is the Glock 19, made by privately held Glock GmbH, based in Deutsch Wagram, Austria, the model used in the shooting. Biggest seller, the model used in the shooting. Son of a bitch. Huh? Hey, did you see that? Man, that old sucker got 20 people. God damn, I want me one of them. Quick, Mom, get the kids in the car. Let's go. I'm heading over to the gun shop. Woo-hoo! Michael in Roswell writes, so if everyone, is everyone in Arizona worried that Glocks will be banned? Or are there more people out there thinking, wow, that's a gun for me? Interesting question. Representative Carolyn McCarthy, Michael writes, of Long Island, New York, went into politics after her husband was killed in a mass shooting on the Long Island Railroad. She's been trying to reinstate the ban on extended shot clips and said today, quote, I can't believe the pushback that I'm getting right now, end quote. Any bets that the talking points from the NRA and the Gun Owners of America have been pouring into right-wing media and right-wing bloggers over the weekend? And speaking of Beck, who says now that he's just a peace-loving guy, he says he thinks the Republic will fall if something happens to scary Sarah Palin. He seems to have forgotten what got him onto Fox in the first place. Here's what it was. Beck. Quote, hang on, let me just tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking about killing Michael Moore And I'm wondering if I could kill him myself, or if I would need to hire somebody to do it. No, I think I could. I think you could be looking me in the eye, you know, and I could just be choking the life out. Is this wrong? I stopped wearing my What Would Jesus the Band Do, and I've lost all sense of right and wrong now. I used to be able to say, yeah, I'd kill Michael Moore, and then I'd see the little band, What Would Jesus Do? And then I'd realize, oh, you wouldn't kill Michael Moore, or at least you wouldn't choke him to death. And you know, well, I'm not sure. Yeah, Beck's just a big old teddy bear. And you sons of bitches on the right want to draw equivalence between what I say on this program and what Glenn Beck talks about strangling the life out of Michael Moore? Screw you. Prairie 2. On equivalence. Right-wing hate speech has an audience of crazy people. Left-wing, quote, hate speech, end quote, does not. There is no left-wing equivalent to the diagnosable authoritarian personality disorder that affects as much as 25% of the population. Coincidentally, that is how many right-wingers there are, even though they maintain they're 80% of the population, which is, of course, more delusion. Without billionaires to fund their media, provide talking points, and buy off politicians, they would be taken no more seriously than the village idiot. The right is on the offensive right now about this because they always are. The orders come down from the paid shills, and they do what they're told. That's why it's called authoritarian personality disorder, and why getting liberals to agree is like herding cats. We don't have that disorder. And from Michael again, and then back to your calls about false equivalencies. There are people in this country Oh, we have a break coming. I'll just wait on this. But when I watch, as I still occasionally do, Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough and that crew of whiners and plagiarists on Morning Joe talking about, oh, let's tone down the rhetoric. Well, wasn't Scarborough in that class of 94 where Newt Gingrich put out the word list that Joe Scarborough was more than happy to use, accusing Democrats, forget liberals, accusing Democrats of every vile, putting them in every vile frame they could? Didn't Scarborough use that? I think you did, didn't you, Joe, you phony bastard? Huh? They hate the family. They hate children. They hate America. Right? And now when some of this starts to come back on some little rinky-dink 25-cent program like this one, these sons of bitches raise up on their hind legs and start screaming foul. Bite me!
Time to practice your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
Ready for action, nip it in the bud. We never relax and outcast it everlasting.
21 past the hour. So for Michael, again, I love those false equivalencies. There are people in this country whose entire outlook of life is shaped by gun fetishism. They are not normal. They are already half crazed. And when someone tells them that they are under attack by the black communist socialist Nazi Muslim president, the IRS, the Trilateral Commission, the liberals, the government, some of them get pushed over the edge. When the Tea Partiers go on rants about the Constitution to that subset of society, it means just one thing, the second clause of the Second Amendment. I've met such people everywhere I've lived in this country, and most of them are people with some serious thinking disorders, some thoroughly strange ideas about how society works, and one overriding belief in how to fix things. Hauling out guns in public is intended to intimidate any opposition. It's a visually powerful way of saying, I can kill you if I choose to do so. It doesn't really matter if it's supposed to be a statement directed toward the government, and a faintly stupid statement at that, given state power, or even the on the local level. It also serves as a warning to everyone that these people don't like the thought of their views being intellectually opposed. They're saying, we will use force if we can't have things our own way. In a perverse sense, that's our foreign policy. So it's perfectly logical to these idiots to bring the same thinking to domestic policy. It is a cultural phenomenon that's being stoked by a variety of influences, from the commercial to the political. And it can and has permeated this increasingly militaristic society. The yahoos put on camo and carry guns because, to their twisted way of thinking, camo and guns are symbols of white Christian America's might and right. And some of them take it too far and decide to kill people. Was Jared Lochner directly, indisputably influenced by Glenn Beck or Scary Sarah or Limp Balls or a baker's dozen of dozens of other right-wing screamers on the airwaves? Maybe, maybe not. But he's definitely a crazy person with a gun who's been marinated in the overheated culture of eliminationism that defines Arizona and much of the rest of the country today. And his target wasn't one of the screamers. It was a Democratic politician. The right wing of this country doesn't want any examination of the phenomenon because just looking at it invites to them a diminution of their political and social power. Of course, they're going to say, it's got nothing to do with us, because, of course, it has everything to do with them. Michael. AJ, the Music Factory, is in the Catskills in New York. Hey, AJ. AJ.
Hey, handsome.
I haven't answered your email yet, but I will. I've been a little sick.
First of all, as I said, there's no rush, and then after you got sick, there's really no rush.
Okay.
I was just going to say, should I ask how you are, or is that a dumb question?
No, I'm recovering. Apparently, I got some horrific intestinal disorder that first dehydrated me, and then I fainted, and when I fainted, I busted my head open and wound up in a hospital and spent overnight in a hospital, and it's just a long road back. Thank God there was somebody to fill in for me. But it was just a comedy of errors, except everything hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you're with us.
Yeah.
Still with us. I am so frustrated tonight after living through the last 4 days. I've always thought that if Liza and I leave this country, it would be because the right has pushed us out. But now I'm not so sure that it's not going to be the left that pushes us out, because I've heard such, at best, misguidedness and at worst, stupidity out of my own brothers and sisters on the left in the past 4 days. It's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of talk from people that I respect, and people, I've been having some Facebook conversations with people who, state their bona fides as, having been hardcore lefties for 25 years, and I believe them. But this notion that there is anything equal between what's going on over on that side and what goes on this side, mm-hmm. and why we've been screaming, and people saying this is not the time to scream, for pity's sake, when is the time to scream.
Hey, AJ, let me put you on hold. I've got to go right to
a
break here, and we'll pick you up on the other side of this break. All right, hold on. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It is 25 before the hour. And this hour is being sponsored by Miriam Shad. She is a Houston, Texas family law attorney who supports progressive causes. And if you need legal help in the Houston area, visit her at her website, Shad, S-H-A-D, lawfirm.net. ShadLawFirm.net. Back to AJ.
Yes, sir.
All right, where were we?
Well, I was just kind of covering this idea of, you know, it's not time to scream, it's not time to finger point. One of my favorites, the one that makes me gag, is let's take it down a notch. I'm not entirely sure what down a notch from a massacre is.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm wondering, can little Christina's parents, can they scream?
Yeah.
The representative's distinguished husband, can he scream? Is that okay? Can their relatives scream? How about those of us who know people who are affected? I think I wrote you an email to that effect, that Liza and I know a lot of people
mm-hmm.
who were directly affected in this. She got a word 2 nights ago that someone she went to school with, her mother was one of the people killed.
Oh, my God.
So she went to school in Jersey. So you see how this can be connected in ways that you don't always anticipate. And can those people scream? How far removed from this do we have to be before we are in that group where we're not allowed to scream? We can't scream. We're supposed to take it down a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And if you watched past 4 days, they certainly haven't taken down a notch.
No.
But you know, for me, the right, those people are like the frog and the scorpion, where the scorpion says, well, what did you expect? I'm a scorpion. That's what I do. They never surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been waiting for this for a while, and in fact, I'm waiting for the next one already. The next shooter is out there now.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, please.
Well, out there, just waiting for the right combination of twisted emotions and psychological collapse, and maybe a little nudge from Glenn Beck or Michael Savage or World Net Daily or some of these right-wing sewers that keep pushing people to do this.
Yep, and God knows, maybe, you know, we're going to sit through another one-year anniversary on January 6, 2012, and by that time, maybe that one will be in the shadow of another hit. So, you know, like I say, to repeat, what's really killing me in the past couple of nights is my own side, I don't want to think of it as a side or a tribe or us against them, but Christ, I mean, you know, can't we open our eyes and see that there's no negotiating with this? And you know, it was brought up that Roger Ailes said, let's tone it down. Well, that's terrific. Satan comes out and says he's not going to lie anymore. That's really super.
Right,
you know,
right.
I want to hear from the Republican leadership. I want to hear from Mitch McConnell and from John Boehner that they repudiate this and that they want it to stop.
Never happened.
Anything short of that, it doesn't count.
Right, but it'll never happen, AJ, because immediately upon saying that, Rush Limbaugh's scheduler will call them up and say, Limbaugh wants to talk to you on the program tomorrow. And then they will pee their pants and go on his program, kiss his ring or some part of his anatomy, and beg forgiveness.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So, I don't know. I mean, we've had in the past, we've had these kind of spikes in what shall I call it, in urgency, whether it's violence or a horrible thing has happened politically, like when the oil slick won the election. And I call you and all I can say is, I don't know. I'm going to be the least articulate, caller tonight because I haven't a clue except that my own guys are really driving me nuts. I never would have expected people to be so many. I mean, okay, you're going to get a few who, you know, reach for Lao Tzu and they say, oh, you know, they go, oh, and it's wonderful. And those people who are sincere about that and are not coming from a place of denial or repression, I really admire it. I don't mean to mock it.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I can't help but feel that some of that is coming from just whistling past the graveyard, our own, I might add.
Yeah,
you know? So, look, better dead than red, I guess. And, thanks for all the work you do. And this nonsense that you're adding to it, and in fact, you drive me crazy when you say I use foul language. It's appropriate language, Mike. It's not foul. It's foul if you use it in your daughter's kindergarten class when they do Daddy Comes to School Day. But in the context of this conversation, the language and the sentiments are appropriate.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Okay?
All right, AJ.
Better.
Thanks a lot.
Peace.
Talk to you later. I remember in the late 80s, after it took about 10,000 people dying of AIDS before Ronald Reagan even mentioned the term. Remember when AIDS first struck and people were dropping? A whole generation of creative sorts were wiped out across the country. Here in Atlanta, I cannot tell you, back in 86, 87, 88, 89, how many funerals I attended. And it's not about me, of course, but I'm just saying the awful horror of what was going on and how every filthy, stinking church in Atlanta, with one or two exceptions, were saying, well, this is God's punishment. And on and on and on and on. The reason I bring this up, because when it looked like nobody was going to do anything, because what the hell is just a bunch of queers dying? And then this group all of a sudden materialized out of who knows where. ACT UP. You remember ACT UP? Does anybody? That seems like a million years ago, doesn't it? But all of a sudden, here they were, young guys and girls, determined. And they would not be quiet. And they came out with the buttons and the t-shirts. Silence equals death. Remember? Do you remember? You got to be over a certain age to remember this. I remember. Because I watched several communities in Atlanta just be decimated by that disease. People I'd see on Monday who had a bad cough, and on Thursday they'd be dead. Silence equals death. And that keeps popping into my head here over the past 4, 5, 6 years. Why is America remaining silent? Why do we do nothing about this? whatever this is. And you know what I'm talking about. This whole overarching attitude of corporate capitalist America. Yay! The worker, the average man and woman, boo. And we sit here. We goddamn sit here. Well, the young kids in ACT UP had it right. Silence equals death. You don't have to smash in windows. You don't have to beat people up. You need to make your voice heard. You know what I'm talking about. From people from the American Way. On his show today, right-wing talk radio host Rush Limbaugh accused the Democratic Party of lending its full support, quote, quote, to Jared Loughner, the man accused of murdering six people and critically wounding Representative Gabriel Giffords and injuring 14 others in Tucson this weekend. In response to calls for increased responsibility in political discourse, Limbaugh said the Democratic Party, quote, is attempting to find anybody but Loughner to blame. And Loughner understands he's got a political party. Do everything he can. Plus the local sheriff. Do everything they can to make sure he's not convicted of murder. Michael Keegan, President of People for the American Way, issued the following statement, quote, as people across the country grieve and reflect, Rush Limbaugh has accused an entire political party and a respected law enforcement officer of supporting a mass murderer. This offensive and irresponsible claim deserves to be met with harsh condemnation by Democrats and Republicans alike. Many of us have called in recent days for the toning down of the irresponsible and dishonest rhetoric that has become pervasive in our political debate. Limbaugh's ridiculous reaction to this tragedy is proof of the need for a return to responsibility, end quote. Limbaugh went home to his new wife after this happened, stripped down to his boxers, opened up a huge jar of peanut butter and a bottle of olives, poured himself a great big glass of $500 a bottle wine, sat back on his large fat ass and said, baby, these people out here love me.
Talk radio right from the left. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Miriam Shad. She is a Houston, Texas family law attorney who supports progressive causes. If you have friends or relatives who are seeking legal help in the Houston area, ask your friends or relatives to visit her website. It is Shad, S-H-A-D, ShadLawFirm.net. ShadLawFirm.net. Check her out, okay? Check her out. Dear Mike, by now you've heard from hubby AJ, this is from Liza, AJ, the Music Factory's wife, about our experiences traveling to the Tucson area to work with the Green Valley Samaritans. We are well acquainted with the atmosphere and issues that led to the attempted assassination of Gabby Giffords. And yes, the atmosphere in Arizona has everything to do with what happened. Our hearts are breaking for all those who lost family members and friends, especially the family of the 9-year-old girl. We're still waiting to hear if any of the dead or injured are people who work with the Samaritans, and if they're people we know. Some Samaritans worked for the Congresswoman, as all the names have not yet been released. Last night, a friend of ours, Reverend Randy Meyer, Mayer led a prayer vigil outside of Tucson. The first thing I did this morning was check the internet to make sure he hadn't been killed too. It's a strange and horrifying feeling to listen to the radio or check internet news, waiting to find out if your friends are among the dead. A couple of points. One, in an almost unbelievable display of bad taste, tone deafness, coldness, and projection, right-wing bloggers, news sites, and Facebook posters are doing gymnastic gyrations trying to turn the shooter into a lefty. Their source? A New York Times quote of a tweet in which a young woman says that he was far left and liberal. A tweet? A tweet? Anybody can claim anything in a tweet. I think I'll claim I'm the Queen of Siam and see if the New York Times runs with it. The young woman goes on to say, but I haven't seen him since 07. That's 5 years, which is a lifetime in the lifespan of a 22-year-old, particularly one who is developing schizophrenia. Jared Loughner also referred to a woman who got an abortion as a terrorist. He was obsessed with guns. He tried to enlist in the army and hated people who didn't speak, quote, good English grammar, end quote. These are positions of conservatives rather than liberals. Unfortunately, pointing this out makes no dent in the fantasy world argument of the conservative blogosphere. Two, conservatives are trying to excuse Loughner for his views because he's crazy. His craziness is irrelevant. The whole teabagger movement is full of crazies. The guy who shot Martin Luther King Jr. was crazy. The guy who assassinated Archduke Ferdinand was crazy. So what? Lofgren's craziness is the inevitable extension of the hateful, vile vomitings of today's conservative movement. They own it, and they can't run away from it. Three, the charming Westboro Baptist Church, God hates fags, plans to picket the funerals of the victims, claiming the shooter was the rod of God's righteousness. Any conservatives condemning that? Anybody? Four, this is not the first act of violence in the past few years against liberals. Consider the shooting of congregants in the Unitarian Church in Tennessee, the assassination of the head of the Arkansas Democratic Committee, the murder of Dr. Edward Tiller, the trashing of a Democratic congresswoman's office in Buffalo right after the election, the menacing behavior of conservatives at town halls, the carrying of guns to Obama rallies, the signs and threats advocating Obama's death, the stomping of a woman on the head at a Rand Paul rally, the trashing of Congresswoman Gifford's office after the health care vote, the spitting on and name-calling of Congressman Cleaver and Lewis, the murder of an IRS worker in Kentucky. Oh, yeah, he tied himself up. And the flying of a plane into an IRS building. I'm sorry, that was an INS. Census taker. The flying of a plane into an IRS building. Again, the right-wing media turned the pilot into a liberal despite all evidence. The Palin, Engel, Beck, lock and load, Second Amendment remedy, bullseye, drawn on Democrats. God tells me liberals are evil. Trinity! They've all carefully fostered this atmosphere, and now they're doing the rumba, trying to distance themselves from the responsibility in these acts and yesterday's. It would be funny if it weren't so disgustingly sordid and sad. Four, according to a Tucson radio station, KNXV, which broadcasts on a CNN stream yesterday, Lofgren's Facebook page, before it was pulled, listed Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin as inspirations. If this is so, then they are liable. Funny, nobody else in the media seems to have picked up on that. Funny, a tiny station like that beat everybody else to the punch. Either that or even funnier, they didn't, and other news agencies got the information, but nobody is telling that part of the story. And five, I think that criminal charges will never be filed against Palin, Engel, Beck, or Fox. They are guilty of inciting terror, but it's too hard to make such a charge stick. They can, however, be sued out of existence. Do you remember the Michael Donald case? The Southern Poverty Law Center sued the Klan and put them out of business permanently. They accused them of recruiting and brainwashing the killers of Michael Donald. They sued. They won. It's time to do the same to Palin, Beck, Engel, the Republican Party, and Fox, and hit the right wing in their excuse for a heart, their wallets. We need to put an end to this madness. Let's get busy. Liza in the Catskills. You know, I was thinking, and I think I even mentioned on the program tonight, anyone who expects any kind of responsibility taking, or even the slightest, to borrow from the Catholic Church, act of attrition on the part of these people, the right-wingers, the Becks, and these people who are destroying America, anyone who expects anything from them except absolute glee, absolute excitement, absolute thrill. I mean, this is wonderful. Look what we accomplished. Anyone who expects anything otherwise is considering these people as sane. Big mistake. This is the Molloy Program, third hour tonight. This hour is sponsored by Miriam Shad. Miriam Shad is a Houston, Texas family law attorney who supports progressive causes. Nice you should ask. Tell your friends and relatives that are seeking legal help in the Houston area to visit her website. It is Shad, S-H-A-D, Shad Law Firm. .net, shadlawfirm.net. From Prairie 2, Arizona is rushing through rushing a law through that the governor will sign by morning to ban the protests by Westboro Baptists. You know, those are the crazy people, the real sick. I mean, these sons of bitches have been spewed right out of the bowels of hell, haven't they? I don't believe in hell, but if one were to exist, these are the demons. Prairie 2 writes, they are doing it specifically, passing this law, for the little girl's funeral. But the law will apply to everybody. The law will be unconstitutional, but that is par for the course in Arizona. Except for the suffering it would cause the families, it would be better if they allowed the protests and covered them on television to fully expose the right for what it is. The Arizona Republicans are going to ban them to pretend they aren't just like them. Yeah, that's the thing that the hypocrisy, it never stops with Republicans or right-wingers. There's not a Republican member of Congress, unless he or she happens to be gay, there's not a Republican member of Congress who doesn't try to demonize gay folk. God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Ho, 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 isn't that funny? Christ, I heard that 42 years ago, and it still cracks me up. Oh, Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. They will do anything they can to condemn gay people to second-class status. So when this group of demons shows up with their God hates fags, inside the hearts of these right-wingers are saying, yeah, God, I wish I could go join them. I'd love to hold up one of those signs because I hate fags too. Boy, I hate them. But they don't, for obvious reasons. So they try this.
Well, we'll get this legislation through. It's about the little girl. No, it's not. It's about, as Prairie 2 says, it's about right-wingers trying to deflect that spotlight of truth that lands on these sons of bitches every time they turn around. I'm surprised they haven't tried to use the gay slur against Obama. That's all it is when it comes out of the mouths of these people, a slur. Okay, I'm sorry. Let's get to the calls here. Mark is in San Francisco. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How about you?
I hope you get better.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm fine. I just busted my head wide open.
I know, and I was kind of worried that it was serious, but I hope you mend well.
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. They did all kinds of CAT scans and head x-rays and all that crap. I'm all right.
Good. Anyway, what I wanted to point out is the Republican Party, which represents only corporations and the rich, they don't have anything to run on but hate.
Yeah.
And that's what they ran on, you know, up. They really ramped the rhetoric up when Obama got elected.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see it stopping. And I think when you hear the right wing right now, they're doing everything. They're going bananas trying to defend it because they don't plan on stopping it. They're trying to deflect it and say that it's on the, you know, the liberal side or the
right,
you know, the left wing side, but it's false.
One of the defining characteristics of a conservative, a right wing conservative, like 99% of these conservatives are right now, is one of the defining characteristics is they cannot take responsibility for anything. That's why they scream so much about responsibility, because they can't do it. And they want to point out that other people can't do it either. They can't do it either. See, look at them. Look at them. They can't take responsibility. And they are cowards. And they are some of the stupidest people I have ever run across. I don't mean ignorant. I mean stupid. Ignorant is curable. Stupid is terminal. And these people, it's just astonishing to me that I'm supposed to tone things down now and allow these slime balls to continue to scream and rant and rave. And they will. Like I said earlier tonight, Mark, they see this attack by this poor deranged kid in Tucson as the fulfillment of what they've been trying to, you know, I said months ago, years ago, that all Glenn Beck wants to see is blood in the streets. That's all he wants to see.
He almost got it with that Tidewater Foundation when he, some crazed gunman went down there and said he was a follower of Glenn Beck. And you know, Bill Press wrote that book, Toxic Talk, during the summer because that book really spelled out what was coming down the road.
That's
he
right.
He didn't write that book for nothing. You and I knew that this kind of rhetoric had consequences. It was just a matter of time.
And it's going to continue because there is not one of these hate mongers out there who is going to dial back one inch. They're going to increase it like the pig man today, according to People for the American Way, is saying that the Democrats are happy with this and want to use this, which is exactly, I mean, everything that they say is just an inversion of the truth. It's them, and they try to lay it off on other people. On Democrats or gay people or the liberals or, I don't know, Jews or whoever it is. It's always the same with these scum. They're like
they destroyed the country for 9 years. Had a war criminal in office. You know, they killed Americans for no reason, sent them over to a meat grinder. They destroyed the economy. They've destroyed the country. What do they got to run on? Nothing. So they run on hate. And that's what's going to keep coming out of their mouths.
And they win.
As long as they're alive.
And they win. They win on hate. Look what happened. 84 new members of new Republicans going into the House of Representatives. The biggest freshman class of Republicans, I think, in the history of the Republic. Well, not in the history of the Republic, but certainly the last 60 years. And there they are. People respond to this. People respond.
I know. And you know what's sad, Mike, is look at what the results are. We've had one killing. And this kind of speech is only going to incur more of it.
That's right. It will.
And, you know, this is the price we pay for having a party, you know, that represents corporations and rich and will stop at nothing for greed and control. And they don't care who they kill or who gets hurt in the way. They don't care about the country, nothing. And you know what, Mike? Your rhetoric is so light for the progressives to stand back and take this stuff for as long as we have. It's a miracle that somebody hasn't gone crazy.
I hear you.
All right, brother.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it. There's no way to stop. There's one way to stop this. And that's for corporate America to stop supporting it. And I don't laugh. Never mind, laugh. I'm laughing. For corporate America, for every advertiser that ever advertised on these hate-filled networks and terrorist organizations like Murdoch's terrorist organization, to just say, now, wait a second. You know, even the stupidest goddamn capitalist should be able to figure out if the country degenerates into civil strife and martial law, who are they going to sell their garbage to? Huh? Who's going to invest in their phony ass instruments on Wall Street? Who's going to buy the crap coming back into this country from China because of all the jobs that have gone overseas? You would think that the capitalists would say, wait a second, we can't kill the goose that laid the golden egg. We can keep them stupid. We can keep them lower middle class. We can take away the jobs. We can do this and do that. But we can't let the whole thing spiral into civil disorder. Let's stop supporting these people. But do you think corporate America will do that? Do you think the capitalists will do that? Hell no. And you know why? Because this is fun. This is sport. This is how they get their kicks. The hour. Another email from Bruce here regarding the absolute control in this country. You know, I said, why don't the corporatists or the capitalists at least rein in the thugs that they allow on the air that they support by buying advertising? There is not a single right-wing talker on the air who is not supported by corporate America. Not one. And you don't have to tell me about the 600 advertisers or 200 advertisers that pulled away from this insane son-of-a-bitch Glenn Beck. They still continue to pour their resources into Rupert Murdoch's broadcast terrorism network. So it doesn't make any difference where the money comes in, the money pays for the programs. But my suggestion was, not suggestion, that's stupid. It's not a suggestion. My observation was that this kind of hate talk will never stop because it is fully supported by capitalist America. And the only way it would stop would be if they would stop supporting it. But Bruce writes, the people at the very top call all the shots. It is a system based on authoritarian personality disorder. They don't need to sell anything anymore. It's about owning everything. The best of everything that they consume doesn't require mass production, just absolute control. Well, okay. I certainly don't disagree with that. This hour, by the way, is brought to you by Miriam Shad, Houston, Texas attorney, family law attorney. She supports progressive causes. If you have friends or relatives, or if you are seeking legal help in the Houston area, visit her website, okay? Shad, S-H-A-D, lawfirm.net. Bob Kincaid of Head On Radio Network writes in, Mike, have you ever wondered how a little psychotic family cult church like Westboro Baptist comes up with the money to go all over creation to protest people? Those trips cost serious money. You have your answer. Fred Phelps' claim to fame lies more in his ability to sue people. He's a lawyer, and get civil rights damages. It's funded his whole evil so-called ministry. And if this law is imposed on him, the law being proposed in Arizona, he'll get damages from that suit, too. His daughter, Margie, is a lawyer, too, and studied at the feet of her disgusting father mentor. It's just another example of the fact that the First Amendment has been reduced to little more than a life support system for the religion industry. Damn the law of unintended consequences. Bob. Email here from Andrew in Hammond, Louisiana writes, Mike, my question after the horrific attack on a duly elected official and my subsequent research into the attacker is thus. Are right-wingers more susceptible to mental illness? Or are those with mental illness more likely to be manipulated into the thoughts of right-wingers? Some may see this crime as a call to question our gun control laws. It should. But I, for one, see this as a cry for better mental health care in this nation. Regardless of the alleged shooter's political affiliations or list of inspirational people or reading material or anything, he was in serious need of mental health care. And we as a nation failed him, and therefore all the victims of this attack. We may not be as culpable in his attack as those that directly influenced him, but indirectly their blood is on all our hands as well. Andrew and Hammond. To a certain extent, I agree with that. Health care in this country, whether physical or mental, is an embarrassment. It's a horror. It's awful. Boy, ask me. I mean, I'm more or less kidding, but I spent one overnight in a hospital in the metro Atlanta area on Friday or Thursday night. Sometime I'll tell you the asininity of that trip. But the entire healthcare system in this country is an abomination. It's horrible. It's awful. It treats people like they don't really exist, and they only exist to be a money pump. And as far as the mental health care, I'm not talking about the therapists and psychologists and LCSWs, licensed clinical social workers, the people who are on the front lines of trying to keep people sane. I'm not talking about them. They bust their asses to try to help people out. But I'm talking about the whole mental health system. And I'm not going to come at this from a standpoint like these crazy bastards in the Church of Scientology. There are a lot of good aspects to mental health treatment. But who gets it? A Gerald Loughner? Was that his name? Gerald Loughner? So, Andrew, your question, are right-wingers more susceptible to mental illness? The quick answer to that is yes. The longer answer is hell yes. I'll answer, but proceeded to rub ya. Wrong way, hate to hate to love ya. Saturday can't win a debate with dub ya. Especially when the company cap is Kenny Lay. Meanwhile, sweatshops paying pennies a day. Big bank, take little bank anyways. Why the country's always going to war for many days. Got Bush playing Family View with Saddam. Survey said, oops, you out of time. We the only ones allowed to have nuclear bombs. Guaranteed it won't be another Vietnam. 9-1-1 ain't a joke no more. Nowadays, it's a whole different approach to war. Bin Laden, Bin Laden out of Pakistan. And you want to be heard, better clap your hands.
Because liberal is a good word, it's more Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Miriam Shad, a Houston, Texas family law attorney who supports progressive causes. If you have friends or relatives, or if you are seeking legal help in the Houston area, visit her website. Shad, S-H-A-D, shadlawfirm.net. Thanks, Miriam. Got an email here from Tara of RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Tara writes, "Hi, Mike and Kathy. Sometimes the stress of having to share the same air as people who put crosshair images on a graphical hit list targeting members of Congress and play it off like they were surveyor marks after an unbalanced loon brings the vision to fruition is just too much to bear. When Palin released her statement saying the gun sites were now surveyor marks, knowing that she was clearly lying and had at one time proudly tweeted about her bullseye map, I had to say to myself, does this woman think everyone is an idiot? Then I remembered, oh, right. Thinking of yourself as superior and everyone else as idiots is a core character trait of a malignant narcissistic sociopath, which Sarah Palin clearly is. Frankly, I think the new right-wing motto needs to be, don't retreat, rewrite, because they don't waste a moment trying to mold their lies into some version of reality to serve their ideological agenda. I get it, though. They have to rely on spin and lies. You can't win a legislative debate by using facts if your sole mission is to defend corporate interests manipulating the game in an inherently corrupt system. You have to use paranoia. You have to make up things about death panels. You have to play semantic games labeling every initiative that seeks to tamp down corporate power as job-killing and freedom-hating. It matters not that the rhetoric is based in outright fiction. But once they throw those hooks in the water, they shouldn't be surprised if some nutter takes the bait. They don't have the moral high ground, so they need to try and grab the narrative. Besides furiously trying to label Jared Loughner as a left-wing radical, Republicans aren't missing the opportunity to propagate the disingenuous Hitler was a liberal meme. Citing Mein Kampf on his reading list, Loughner's, as if it was a liberal tome. They know that all they have to do is say it, and some people will believe it. Meanwhile, they conveniently neglect to mention Ayn Rand's We the Living made the list because it doesn't fit their misleading agenda. The pattern is clear. The party of personal responsibility, quote, quote, only sticks to that motto when trying to deny children a school lunch program. When it comes to taking personal responsibility for stoking fear and inciting unbalanced people to commit acts of violence, forget it. So while normal America calls for soul-searching and civility in our discourse, the right-wing monsters are still busy spinning us all around for the sake of their dead-ender ideology. The hate, the lies, and the spin go on, but the fact remains. Right-wingers are liars. Sarah Palin is a disgrace, and all her apologists are all just as culpable for the disasters they create. Thanks for letting me share. I'm serious about the stress. Sometimes I close my eyes and imagine a world without Republicans. Ah, the bittersweet knowing how much better off humanity, the animal kingdom, and Mother Earth herself would be without Republican anchors dragging us all down, appealing to the worst aspects of the human condition to sustain themselves, contributing nothing, and leaving their mark of pain, ignorance, divisiveness, and death on everything they touch. Hopefully one day humanity will evolve, and Republicans will once and for all be left on the dung heap of history, where all greed-centered, ignorance-promoting, divisive collection of ghouls eventually wind up. Tara, from RepublicanDirtyTricks.com. Well said, Tara. Back to Arizona, Tim in L.A. sends us out. He writes, "So, hey, Mike, Jan Brewer is mourning the dead in Arizona. But isn't it the living she needs to take care of? And then there's a headline here. Woman denied transplant funding may leave Arizona after being told life-saving procedure is not, quote, cost-effective, end quote. And the little article, as Think Progress previously reported, at least two Arizonans have died because they were denied funding for organ transplants that they were promised following Medicaid budget cuts championed by Arizona Governor Jan Brewer, Republican. The governor called the transplants optional and has ignored those who have proposed possible solutions that would fully fund the transplants without requiring any additional revenue. Now the local station, Fox 10, highlights the case of yet another victim of Brewer's Medicaid cuts. Karen Briannon is a 63-year-old woman who suffers from hepatitis C. She is in need of a liver transplant, and her doctors say that without a transplant, she will die. And then Tim adds, Jesus, Republicans like death. Yeah, this is exactly what Tara was talking about. And they do. It's a death cult. The entire Republican Party is a terrorist movement or a death cult. Call it what you like. But it is not comprised of people who try to find solutions for themselves and the rest of humanity. These are not creatures who think that way. These are greedy, selfish morons who think that spending $150 at Target is a fun afternoon. These are people who are easily manipulated. They are obviously soulless. And I don't understand in the evolutionary scale what they're here for. I really don't. What's with the tiny amygdala? Is that the part that the small amygdala? Bigger amygdala means more fear, more ignorance, more stupidity. Why is there a difference in amygdalas? That's the central part of the human anatomy, the brain. Are these all somehow descendants of... Well, not cavemen, but Neanderthals. Are these people some kind of a diversion that evolution took as some kind of a gone awry experiment? Not by some mad scientist, but simply a genetic quirk? Well, let's see what happens if we take a right turn here. Oops! Why do we have large amygdalas that mean fear and loathing, and normal-sized or smaller ones that mean compassion and understanding and fear less? What's going on? Maybe it's time to consider that. And maybe Tara's right. Maybe at some point they'll disappear. After all, you know what survival of the fittest means, don't you? I mean, doesn't it partly mean, Kathy, survival of those creatures that most fit into their environment? It's not survival, it's not necessarily survival of the strongest. It's survival of the one that makes the best fit into its environment. It's just appalling. All right, we have a break coming here, so... Oh, my goodness. All right, Bob in Coos Bay, Oregon, we're coming to you right after this break. Sorry, then I've left you on hold for over an hour. Jesus, no wonder. Well, this is why I don't open the lines very often. Because I have this horrible tendency to just leave people sitting there. Sorry. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Shout it out.
freezes. Long as I got my plastic Jesus riding on the dashboard on my car.
10 before the hour and this hour tonight and the hour previously brought to you by Miriam Shad, who is a Houston, Texas family law attorney who supports progressive causes. If you or your friends or relatives are seeking legal help in the Houston area, visit her website. It is Shad, S-H-A-D, lawfirm.net. Miriam, thank you very much. All right. God, I can't not take Bob's phone call. I think he would come down here and kick my ass. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mike. The man with the gigantic anterior cingulate. But hey, Keith Olbermann makes that classic distinction as well, so you're in good company. Anyhow, first of all, amen to AJ, the music company. Everything he said was spot on.
And his wife, Liza, who had written in yesterday, I think, and I hadn't gotten to her email yet. Between the two of them, there's no mercy for lying, cheating, hypocritical right-wingers. There's just no mercy, and there shouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, Mike, I was telling Kathy when I called in, you know, I spent the first 60 years of my life in Portland, and up there, back in the mid-80s, I started listening to talk radio, and there wasn't really much going on politically in those years. But I did get in on the very earliest sessions of the blubbering pig man.
Mm.
And right after the Clinton election, the bucket loads of hate that was being vomited out was so obvious and so sickening. And I'd come home and tell my wife, I'd got to hear this guy. He's trying to start a civil war in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I could smell that 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
Right.
And I don't understand how there are so many stupid people in this country that haven't been able to figure this out.
Well, you know, if there is one person and who has taken it upon himself to destroy interesting political discourse in this country, it starts with Limbaugh. It all starts with Limbaugh.
He's the granddaddy.
Yeah, yeah. He's the one who the right-wing program directors thought he was just a beautiful little baby who was ready to learn how to walk and talk, and they were going to help him along because he supported every single capitalist cause. It didn't make any difference how degenerate it was. It didn't make any difference how many pharmaceutical companies caused people to die, or how many food processing companies caused people to die, how many mine owners caused people to die, how many people were shot dead, how many people died on the streets that are homeless. Limbaugh was always right there.
Precisely.
To shift the responsibility to the stupid homeless person who died. I mean, he's the one. He is the one. You know, when you get the head of the Republican National Committee who pees his pants after making a mild critique of Rush Limbaugh and then begs forgiveness from this huge Jabba the Hutt freak, that's all you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And I'll tell you another thing, too. Back about 4 years, 5 years ago, whatever it was, when Glenn Beck first started on CNN, I just kind of accidentally tuned in to him a few times. I've got a good buddy in Nashville that's a musician friend of mine I knew for a long time in Portland. And when he first saw this guy, he says, hey, when I see this Glenn Beck on TV, I want to throw my shoe through the screen.
Oh,
that was back in his milder days, you know. So, you know, you can spot this filth a mile away, and it's just unbelievable how it's come so far through the cracks.
Beck makes a horrible appearance. When you see the guy, you just know, first of all, that he must have horrific body odor.
Yeah.
You know that he's just slightly around the edges demented. He is a recovering alcoholic, not that there's anything wrong with that, but that dry drunk attitude that he has, that aggressive, nasty, hate-filled approach to everything.
Yeah.
You know, people say, well, Malloy, you don't have room to talk. Your show is full of hate, too. That's right. I hate the haters. I hate the people who set this country up to fail. I hate the people who are constantly trying to put black against white and gay against straight and Jew against Gentile. You're goddamn right. I hate those people with a fierce intensity that will never, ever, ever let up. And that does, and that is so different. And I'm not trying to, I don't justify anything. I believe in that theory. I don't know who said it. God, I hope it wasn't Ayn Rand. Never apologize, never explain. But, you know, if you're going to follow that motto, never apologize, never explain, to me it means two things. First, you don't say anything that requires an apology. A. B, you make yourself so clear that explanations aren't necessary. So it's not as arrogant as it sounds, when I use it anyway, when that credo, never apologize, never explain, that puts responsibility on me to not do things that are going to hurt people and to say things that are clearly and easily understood. And you don't get that from somebody like Beck or that mealy-mouthed little bastard Hannity. I mean, these people sit there. Between the three of them, they probably make more money than in any, 50,000 Americans lumped together. And all they do is sit there and spew this poison out. Day after day.
You know, there's an old saying that some people used to say when you hear a lousy musician or a lousy band somewhere, if it smells, it sells. Well, boy, it really applies to
it does.
This right-wing stuff, I'll tell you.
Bob, thanks.
Thanks. That whirring sound you hear is Oliver Wendell Holmes spinning his grave.
It is indeed. Bob, I got a boogie. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. I'll see you all tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.